Last time we read in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses had grown up when he was great. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable, we saw, but it's very temporary. And then it says in verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, the word Christ is the word Christos, which is the Messiah, which is the Greek form of what the Hebrew would be the Messiah. The anointed, it means the anointed one. The reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. Now, we talked last time that the reproach will stop. You know, when you reproach God's people, you reproach Christ, right? If you reproach them, you're reproaching Christ. He joined with the people of God, right? He went with them. He went with his family, his people, the chosen ones. And he decided, I'm going to be with them rather than with the hierarchy, the royalty of Egypt. But there are a number of translations of this thing. And it says he considered, now think about his value system. He considered the reproach, and we talked about that last time, the ill treatment and the disgrace and the degradation and the defamation that he received. He considered that greater treasures, greater than the treasures of Egypt. Now, Egypt had great treasures. They had lots of money. It was a great and wealthy nation at that time. Now, we know wealth is not evil. We know that there's nothing wrong with gaining wealth. Some of the patriarchs were very wealthy. Different ones had done it. But he considered the reproach as greater than the riches of Egypt. Greater. So his value system said, I'll take the defamation. I'll take the scorn. I'll take the ridicule, the insults over the treasures of Egypt. He gave them up. Let me read this in the complete Jewish Bible, Hebrews 11, verse 26. He had come to regard the abuse suffered on behalf of the Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he kept his eyes fixed on the reward. Let me read it in the MacDonald idiomatic translation. He considered the stigma of being the anointed. Now, they're translating this that he considered the stigma, the disgrace, the reproach of being the anointed. Was Moses the anointed? You could say that. He was chosen as greater wealth than having Egypt's treasures, for he looked far away to the reward. And the Murdoch translation says, and he esteemed the reproach of the Messiah a greater treasure than the hoards of Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. In other words, what he did, it says in the New American Standard, for he was looking toward the reward. I'll take the reproach. I'll take the stigma. I'll take the ridicule. I consider that greater treasures than the treasures of Egypt. And the reason I can consider that greater treasures is that I have my eyes fixed on the reward. Now, you know, there are very few things in life that don't take a little effort, sometimes some suffering. Let's say you wanted to do some bodybuilding. You know, you want to lift some weights and you have to get in training. Let's say you wanted to be a football player and you have to hit the weight room and you have to punt. If all you're thinking about is, oh man, here we go again. I'm going to sweat. My muscles are going to be sore. If you don't look for the reward, and the coaches that teach these football players are saying, well, we could get to the Super Bowl. We could get to the winning. We're going to be a winning team. We're going to do well. Our franchise will make more money and you'll get more. And they look to the reward. Whatever you do that takes effort to get there, if you don't have your eyes fixed on the reward, you probably won't do it. You'll stop. And so Moses, how was it that he considered the reproach of Christ, of the Messiah, or of the people of God, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt? And it says that last sentence of verse 26, because he was looking toward, his eyes were fixed on the reward. That's the only way he could endure it. Now, many people think that Paul, the author of Hebrews, as we believe, had Psalm 89 in mind. Listen to the Psalm 89 where it's talking about the servant, the covenant with the servant, and it had to do with David's covenant, and of course there were messianic overtones. Psalm 89 beginning in verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. That's verse 3 and 4. Now dropping down to verse 24. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. And in my name, his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea, and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, you are my Father, my God, my rock of salvation, and I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Dropping all the way down now to verse 50. Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples. So here's this servant, this one that was chosen, and he's asking God, this is David, I'm asking God to remember that reproach with which your enemies have reproached, O Eternal, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord, the Eternal, forever. Amen and amen. That's what it said. That's Psalm 89. It may have been that the author of Hebrews here, Paul, had remembered the reproach. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt because he had his mind fixed on that. Now, Egypt, you know, there's no doubt about it. Egypt had many great rewards. One of them was riches. The other one of them was physical and sinful pleasures. But Moses did not want those rewards. He wanted the rewards that he had through serving God's people. That's noble. That's first-class good values. You know, professing Christians seem to have very little respect to the spiritual values. You know, if you give a sermon about, you know, if we serve God, we have looked forward to the kingdom of God and the spiritual values and the rewards of good service in Christianity, you know, people will often, you know, okay. But let's say I came in here with what is called the prosperity gospel. Now, if you believe in Christ, God will bless you. You'll have lots of money. You'll be able to do this. If you do that, you get all these blessings and all then God's always on your side and God will always be with you and you'll never have any problems and you'll have all this money because you are serving God and God wants to give you everything and God Father owns everything. You're going to get it and it's all. There are preachers who just preach what is called the prosperity gospel. You can't ever go wrong if you are serving God. Well, That's not always the case, and people have been reproached for serving God, and sometimes they've been martyred for doing so. Let's set our minds, like Moses, on the things above, on the reward at the end, so that we can endure sometimes a reproach if that happens. Now we have in verse 27 a statement here. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Okay? By faith, he left Egypt. Now, if you'll notice, verse 24 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was about 40 years old, you know, when he first realized, I'm one of the Hebrews, and I want to visit my brothers. And then he got in trouble, you remember? He ended up killing a guard. Moses really would be wanted for murder or manslaughter at least. In Hebrews 11 verse 24, then you come down to Hebrews 11 verse 27, there's about a 40-year gap between those two events. About a 40-year gap. If we consider that he left Egypt as the Exodus. Okay, if he left Egypt as the Exodus, he was about 80 years old. But there's some controversy over this. Where did he go when he left it? By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Many people look at this, they say, well, how did Hebrews here say he left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king, when what do we know happened? Well, we know that what happened was, if you read Exodus chapter 2, when he was talking to his brothers, and let's read it, Stephen's summary. Let's read Stephen's summary. Acts chapter 7. But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you? Remember, Moses saw two of the Israelites fighting. He comes down to the Hebrews and he says, hey, men, your brothers, why are you fighting? And what do they say to him? Who made you a ruler or a judge over us? Now, let's suppose you're Moses, okay, just for the little bit of it. And you're all of a sudden got this desire to help your brothers. You've been up at the top of the world in the Egyptian royalty. You are the grandson of Pharaoh and the son of his daughter, and you've lived in the royal palace, and you've had all the pleasures and all the sinful pleasures and all the foods you could eat and every good thing that life could offer, wonderful clothing and jewelry and everything. And now you've got this heart that you just see these people and they've been so abused, and you go down and you see... You already killed a guy who was beating one of the Hebrews. Well, you killed him. And now, you know, nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. You didn't think too many people knew it. But now you see two of your brothers fighting, and you go down and you try to stop them, and what do they say? Who made you a ruler or a judge over us? Do you not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Now they know. These people know. The word is out. At that, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became father of two sons. Now where did he go? He got scared. And if you read the book of Exodus chapter 2 or so, you'll see that Moses feared, and somebody told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh went after him. It was a bulletin, you know, all points bulletin out for Moses, and he leaves the country and he goes to Midian. And what a come down that is, right? Listen to chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. You got to be pretty humble sometimes to survive things. up at the top at Pharaoh's palace, now pastoring the flock of his father-in-law. You remember the Jethro gave him Zipporah for a wife. He had two sons by Zipporah. And here he is now pasturing. He had been top of the heap in Egypt, the great country. Midian was not great country at that time. It was more farm areas. And he was out there pasturing the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. That's what you see, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. A major come down from royalty to shepherding. As opposed to King David, what did King David do? King David went from shepherding to royalty, right? He went from a shepherd boy to royalty. Moses went from royalty to shepherding. When did he leave Egypt? A lot of people say he left not fearing the wrath of the king. What, was he not fearing the wrath of the king? Was this talking about that point where he left to go to Midian? Most people believe it is. Or is it talking about the Exodus? Because the Exodus comes later. By faith, he kept the Passover. Now, where did he keep the Passover? He didn't leave Egypt when he kept the Passover. And Hebrews seems to put these things in chronological order. Okay, they're pretty much chronological order. You'll see here, Moses was born. Moses grew up. Moses finally chose rather to endure the treatment. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And now all of a sudden, he's now threw his lot in with the Hebrews. And now he left Egypt. Where did he go when he left Egypt? Did he go to Midian? Yeah, probably. But not fearing the wrath of the king. There are different looks at this. Certainly Moses must have been disappointed. If we look at Acts chapter 7, verse 25, and he supposed that his brothers, that is his brethren, the Hebrews, understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. Now, it's in those 40 years he went to Midian. 40 years he fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons, says Acts chapter 7. After 40 years there, raising his sons, being the father of two sons, being the husband of Zipporah, being the son-in-law of Jethro, the priest of Midian, one day he's walking by and there's a burning bush. And the burning bush doesn't burn up. And Moses said, "Oh, I've got to look at this. How come that bush is still burning? I saw it here and it keeps burning and it's not burned up." And as he approaches, a voice speaks to him out of that voice and says, "Take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. I am the Lord your God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm now sending you. I want you to go to Pharaoh." Now all of a sudden he gets a commission. You go to Pharaoh and you talk to Pharaoh and you tell him, "Let my people go into the wilderness." "Okay, Lord. If that's a, but Lord, I want to know what's your name? Are they going to ask me what's our God's name? Because all these gods have names in Egypt. What's your name?" You tell them, "I am that I am." Right? That's the name he's going to tell them. So he's going to go back to his people, but he's going to go to Pharaoh first. He's trying to get the word out. And what happens when he goes to Pharaoh? Pharaoh says, "Ha! We're not going to let your people go. Number one, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to let your people go. Those people are lazy, and you've come here because their people are lazy, and they don't want to work. So here's what I'm going to do. They're going to have to make the same amount of bricks as they always made, and we are not supplying the straw. They're going to have to go out and gather their own straw." So now the people say, "What are you doing to us? You come here saying we're going to go somewhere and our God has chosen, and all you've done, Moses, is make life harder for us. So he goes back to God. Well, man, everybody's upset. You know, the Pharaoh doesn't, he's not going to let us go. He's not going to let us go. God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. You'll go back to Pharaoh. Okay, what do I do this time? You take that rod that's in your hand and you throw it on the ground, it'll become a snake. And I say, Pharaoh will see the power. Okay, I'll go. He goes to Pharaoh. He throws it on the ground. It becomes a snake. Pharaoh calls the magicians. His magicians, can you do that? Can you duplicate it? Yeah, they threw a rod. They have snakes, two snakes from his two magicians. But Moses' snake ate their two snakes, but that's okay. And Pharaoh said, get out of here with that stuff. You just got some kind of magic that's better than our magic. Get out of here. We're not letting your people go, and I'm not impressed by this. And it goes, and now Moses goes back to God. Okay, well, he's not going to let us go. Think about yourself. People are turning against you. Pharaoh won't listen to you. You've tried a couple of things. Nothing is working. And then you go back to God, and God said, okay, now this time I want you to do this. You take your rod. You go out with Pharaoh and you say, watch this in the Nile. I'm going to put this in the Nile, and the Nile is going to turn to blood. And the fish are going to die, and all these things are going to die, and this place is going to stink, and then you're going to have this. And so they do. And he asks his magicians, can you make water into blood? And they say, yeah, watch this. We have a little pound of water, and it turns into blood. And get out of here. And one after another. And every time a plague comes and Pharaoh finally, you know, and here's what Pharaoh finds. Okay, you can leave. Okay, you can leave. The plague stops. Pharaoh says, I've changed my mind. You can't leave. So here's this man trying, and the people, trying to rally the people. Now we come back here to this verse. He goes not fearing the wrath of the king, not fearing it. Okay, he persevered for 4 decades while he was in Midian. He had the same belief that he was, you know, he could have, I suppose, if you're in Midian, and for that, he could have come back, tried to write a letter to his mother, his stepmother, his adopted mother, and said, you know, I'm sorry, I made a very terrible mistake. I want to come back and be with you. I want to be part of the royal family again. I want to, please forgive me. I lost my head for a moment. And she would have said, sure, my son, come back. And the grandson would have forgiven him. You got to get your place back. We'll put you back in the order. Let's have you worship with the gods of Egypt. And just come with us to some of our temples and acknowledge the magicians. And now you're here. He could have done that. But for 40 years in Midian, he held to the same beliefs. 40 years. They're still my brothers. I don't know what to do. I've fled. I got a new life until God now called him. His faith did not falter. His faith did not waver. He was still the same man. A man who was willing to ignite his people into action if he could. So here we are in verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured. He endured. Okay, is leaving Egypt here the Exodus? I don't think so. Listen to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. When they said, who made you prince or a judge over us? You remember that? Are you intended to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Moses fled. In Exodus 2, he says he did fear the wrath of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh heard the matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land. He sat down. Moses was afraid in verses 14 and 15 of Exodus 2. I think what Paul was referring to when he left Pharaoh, he says he left Egypt. In a sense, he walked out of Pharaoh's presence. unafraid, was probably this passage that we tend to overlook in chapter 11 of Exodus. Chapter 11 of Exodus, beginning in verse 6. Now here he's talking about what is going to happen. Moreover, there shall be a great cry. Here's Moses talking to Pharaoh. There's going to be a great cry in Egypt, such as there has not been before and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark. Whether against a man or beast, that you may understand how the eternal, the ever-living, makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now he's in front of Pharaoh. He's saying this right to Pharaoh's face. Now let me give you a little example. Not fearing the king. Let me tell you something. When you stand in front of the king, most people are going to be a little bit afraid. They are. Why? Because the king has guards. He has people who can behead you, throw you in prison, beat you up, knock you down. You stand in front of the king, most people are a little afraid of the wrath of the king. Notice Proverbs chapter 19, verse 12. We'll come back to Exodus there a minute. Proverbs 19, verse 12. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like the dew on the grass. You know, you want to get favor from the king, oh boy, the king can really bless you, the king can really do things, but his wrath is like the roaring of a lion. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 14, it says this: the fury of the king is like the messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. The fury of a king is like the messenger of death. You know, you can be in front of the king and the king says, lop his head off. I mean, impulse. I don't know if you ever read the comedy, The Wizard of Id, years ago. It was running these, is it still running? I don't read the comic pages much. But The Wizard of Id. And one of the king is out there, I want Rastus. Where is Rastus? Oh, my lord, you got mad at him the other day and had him beheaded. Oh, he said, oh no, you lost your temper and had him beheaded. I wanted him. I liked Rastus. Oh no, did I get mad? Yeah. You know, the king could just fly off the handle all and say, you know, behead this man. And whap, his head is lopped off. So, not fearing the king, you got to have a lot of faith. And he had a lot of faith in God. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 11. We're dropping to verse 7. Against the sons of Israel, a dog will not bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand that the Eternal makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, go. Go out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that, I will go out, he says. Moses is saying, they're going to come down to me, they're going to be bowing to me, they're going to be begging me to leave Egypt. And after that, I will go. And then it says, the last part now, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, in verse 8, and he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. I mean, Moses was furious by this time. Now, he had come through all these plagues. He's come through all these plagues. And now what are we building up to in Exodus chapter 11? We're building up to the Passover and the death of the firstborn. And Moses says, and I'm telling you after this, God is, you're going to see there's going to be a difference between Egyptians and the Israelites. God's going to make a difference. The Israelites are going to be protected by the blood of the Lamb, right? That's what they're going to do. They're going to put that on the doorpost. And you're going to see what happens there. So here's Moses not fearing the king, not fearing him, standing repeatedly before Pharaoh. And by one request after another and one plague after another, he's upset Pharaoh already very greatly. And now he's standing there and he's saying, all your servants, mister, Now, grandfather, grandpa, remember, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, so I don't think he'd call him grandpa anymore. He says, all your servants are going to come to me, they're going to bow down and beg me to leave. And that's when I'm going to go out. Exodus chapter 14. The people were afraid. You know, you see in the book of the people were often afraid. You remember after they left, finally the king says, get out, get out and go worship your God and bless me also as you go, and all that. So here in Exodus chapter 14, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel. He wasn't done with them. Now he let them go, and now he's chasing after them. As they were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased them after them with the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camped by the sea beside Pihahiroth and by Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching from them, and they, the sons of Israel, became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Well, what did Moses do? Moses said, do not fear. Stand, see the salvation of the Eternal, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again forever. And the Eternal will fight for you, while you keep silent. Just be quiet. Be quiet. God will fight for you. It's reminiscent of Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, where when you see the face of the Lamb and the wrath of the Lamb and the rocks, and they say, fall on us to the rocks of the mountains. Hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? Yeah. True faith fears God, not man. Moses feared God, not man. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. You see that word, endured? That word is used only here in the New Testament. That's a Greek word only used here. And it means to continue without wavering in a stable condition. It means to be strong, to be steadfast, to hold out, to endure. It's a particular Greek word, but the only place it's used is in this book of Hebrews right here. It's a particular. There are other words that mean endure too. They also, but that particular word is used here. He says, he endured, that is, he was unwavering, he was steadfast, he would not let any change of state or condition, he held out absolutely. And the reason he endured as seeing him who is unseen. In his mind's eye, he saw God. And God is unseen. Yeah. Accordingly, Hebrews 11:27, giving the reason, see, for Moses' fearlessness. So, not fearing the wrath of the king, you remember? Why? Because he endured. He was just as steadfast at that point as ever. And the reason for it is he was seeing him who is unseen. He went to God. God spoke to him. And we know that when he went up on the mountain, to receive the Ten Commandments, he came down. What was his face like? It was glowing in glory. It was white, like a big bright light, like a big bright headlight, his face was, because he had been in the presence of God. And God allowed him to see I'll let you see my back. I'll let you see it. I'm going to pass in front of you. You're going to see it. So he saw him who was unseen. And at that time, prior to the Mount Sinai appearance, He saw God in his mind's eye. And that caused him to stay steadfast to the end. Yeah, Pharaoh did not respond to the snakes, to the rods, to the plagues. He kept denying Moses time after time. I'm telling you, a lesser man would have given up. A lesser man could not have endured this. But Moses did. It takes great faith to persistently survive so many refusals and so many denials. Your people are mad at you half the time because they're being lashed more and having to do more work. Pharaoh won't let you go. You say, I'm going to go and tell Pharaoh, let us go. You go time after time, plague after plague, one thing after another, and no, 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 no. And finally, you find out why. Finally. Some of the hardest opposition Moses had to endure was his people, because he supposed they would understand, and they did not understand. Exodus 5. The foreman of the sons of Israel, this is chapter 5 of Exodus, verse 19. The foreman of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble because they were told, you must not reduce your daily amount of bricks. When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses. Okay, when they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were walking toward them. They said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. And Moses returned to the Eternal and said, O Eternal, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Talk about some point of discouragement, yet he endured. Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. They're still here in bondage, and you've asked me to do this, and they're there still. For you showed great sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully. Oh, I'm sorry, the wrong page. Okay, so here's Moses. Here's Moses looking to God. Why did you choose me, God? Why? Well, God had a purpose. God said to Moses, I'm going to get a vengeance. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. You're going to get through. But by the time you get out of here, Egypt will be left in shambles. And you'll know that I'm the Eternal, your God, and your people will be taken out. Now, Moses had one more great thing to do. What did he have to do? Verse 28. We'll talk about that next time. By faith, he kept the Passover. He had to persuade each and every Israelite family to get a lamb and kill it on that night and put it on the doorposts and stay in their houses while God was going to destroy the firstborn of Egypt. That by itself was a monumental task. Moses and Aaron speaking on behalf of God. I'll tell you, talk about a man of faith, a faith that endures. We can only hope to be a fraction of that. But you know what? If we had a fraction of Moses' faith, you'll have a lot of faith, and God will be pleased with you.